too. I mean, the scout, high and tight and low and away, was most of what they said.
Yeah.
But,
and that's what you did.
Well, we could pitch that way, but we didn't have the pitches they were talking about.
Yeah.
But then, in the seventh game, I pitched with 2 days rest, and which I'd done it before. It wasn't anything spectacular. As long as the hitters cooperated for the first part of the game, well, mm-hmm. generally you had enough to go on and pitch the rest of the way. And they cooperated good. So. I didn't have any trouble in that ninth inning. Really, there were two broken bat hits and one infield hit that loaded the bases, and then Scourin hit the ball down the first base, third base line. Real good, but Eddie was playing him over there and mm-hmm. made a good play on him.
Yeah.
All over.
That's all over.
Enjoyed it very much.
You bet. That's a grand thrill. I can, although I, you know, I've only seen it in person once, the last game of a World Series, and just watching it on television, but the men I have talked with, they always come to that as the highlight of their career of when that world championship is theirs.
Well, I was very fortunate to have a lot of good things happen to me in baseball. Like I pitched the greatest game as ever pitched. I won the game, greatest game as ever pitched in the history of baseball, but I didn't pitch it. I beat Harvey Haddix 1-0 in his 12 perfect games.
That's right. I forgot about that. That's right.
When I went to Cooperstown right after that and to play in the game again there in Cooperstown. And there's that big box score they had up on the wall. And down on the very low right hand corners had Winter Burdett in real small letters.
Yeah, and everybody talks about Harvey Haddix perfect game for 12 innings.
It's the greatest game in the history of baseball. Uh-huh. 12
perfect games.
Yeah. And didn't win it. I really felt sorry for him. But I got what I wanted. I wanted to win.
Yeah. Have you seen him, talked with him about that, reminisced about that game?
Talked about it a lot. He gets it. As everybody telling what I did to him after the game, I called him.
What's
up.
That?
I called him up in the visiting clubhouse and said, "Harvey, what you and I have played against each other for at least 14 years now, or so several years in the minor leagues, and we drank a few beers together and talked a little baseball together." And I said, "But I thought you knew better than to bunch your hits. You only gave up one." And he hung up on
me. He hung up on you. Well, 58, you win the pennant again.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, you won the first two games of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Yankees stormed
back. I won the first one, I won the second. I hit a home run the second.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Against who?
I don't remember who it was.
Oh.
Grimm or somebody.
Oh, Bob Grimm?
I don't remember.
Well, you were a darn good hitter anyway.
Well,
you
I
and Warren Spahn.
Later on, I became a pretty good hitter. Before that, I wasn't.
You could have been a designated pinch hitter if you'd gone over to the junior circuit.
No, not that consistent. But I'm not making any excuses at all for the 58 deal, except I tied Hank Aaron for the RBI lead on the ball club. World Series, so you know how many runs we scored the last three games.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we just pooped out, didn't score.
I think that was the first time that a team that lost the first two games of the World Series came back and won the
down 3-1, I think.
Was it 3-1? That's right. And I think, of course, it's happened a couple of times since then.
Well, yeah, if I'd won the fifth game or the seventh game, I'd have got another Corvette.
That's right. Two years and most valuable player.
Yeah.
Where's that Corvette now?
I wish I had it.
That's right. I bet we should did, too. That'd be worth
it. Well,
it
wasn't Well, it really wasn't a family car.
No, no. two people at most.
At the time, we had three children. So.
And their names?
Children's name?
Uh-huh.
Well, the son is Lewis Kent, and the oldest daughter is Madre, and the redhead is Mary Lou. She was born the day after we sensed the 57th day. And then Elena was born in 1960.
Mm-hmm. And they all live locally around Sarasota?
Well, one lives in Holiday, Florida, my son, just north of, or Carbon mm-hmm. Springs area.
Uh-huh.
And Midge is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mary Lou is in Orlando, mm-hmm. and Elena's in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
Richardson, Texas. She's moving back to Florida.
Are you in favor of the designated hitter?
No.
Of course, the National League doesn't have it except every other year in World Series.
I wouldn't be in favor of it because I like to hit. But
makes it easier managing.
Well, it's easier managing, and it's also a lot of pitchers get to stay in a tie ball game in late innings where they would normally catch it.
Well, wouldn't you like it for that as a pitcher?
I might like it for that. I might not.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know.
I read an article that the changes in the last 40 years, that the worst have been artificial turf, the expansion to from 8 clubs in each 26. League to 26, and now it's going to be another 2 here coming up. And the third one is the decline of the minor league system. Would you agree with any one or of those as the worst things to happen in baseball?
Well, I think television made all the big salaries possible.
Yeah.
But it also ruined the minor league.
How's that? I don't see
because
the connection.
Because they can watch a major league game on television and not go out and watch.
But there's been an increase. There's been, seemed like, at least a lot of publicity that folks are going back and supporting some of these minor league teams.
Well, I think they would prefer to go to the ballpark, which is like we were talking about mm-hmm. before. But I think that the grade of baseball that is played nowadays may suffer considerably because they don't spend any time in the minor leagues.
That's right. They learn the basics.
As far as fundamentals of the game. Mm-hmm. By the time you get, years ago, when you got to the big leagues, you were not supposed to make any mental errors. Or at least that's the way that everyone felt about it. But you should not make any mental errors. And you watch ball games nowadays, and you catch quite a few mental errors. Mm-hmm. Or fundamentals.
Yeah, such as the outfielder gets the ball and he doesn't know where to throw it.
Yeah, throw the wrong base or throw mm-hmm. it behind a runner and throw it in front of him or whatever.
Yeah. What about you think, the same writer says one of the best things that happened in baseball is the playoffs and the return of the stolen base.
The playoff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like the idea of playoffs because the best team doesn't necessarily represent your league in the World Series.
Yeah, that's right. That could happen. You know, the second best record could get it.
Well, second best record, or even third or fourth best record.
That's okay. Yes, all four divisions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they got a hot streak there, the pitching came together.
Yeah, well, that's all it would be a hot streak of 10 games.
Yeah, that's all. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't even be that many. Yeah, it'd be, what's 3 out of 5 the first?
3 out of 5.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it would be.
And then, of course, you never played on artificial turf.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you?
Played in the
when Houston opened it about late 60s.
Yeah, played over here in St. Pete. Training.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't particularly like it. Gets some awful snappy double plays, but you get some awful bad hops once in a while, too.
Well, you got shortstop playing
almost in
short left field.
Yeah.
And
well, otherwise, you couldn't get to anything. I mean, it'd be buying too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And if a routine fly ball goes, a fly ball goes to the outfielder and he tries to charge it and catch it, and if he misses it, it's a triple or home run inside the park.
That's right, because that thing will bounce like a tennis ball on a court.
Sure does.
You bet. It does anyway when it goes down the infield.
Mm-hmm. But generally, infield shots are low hoppers.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, you'll get some hit the ball, chop down on the ball, and let it hop over the pitch. You just don't get too hopped. Mm-hmm. Hopped, but they're too big.
Yeah. The stolen base is coming back now. They're talking about Ricky Henderson setting the new record here any day now. I will make this claim.
He runs on any count.
That's right. That has nothing to do with the game.
Steals any base and no consideration for the situation in the ball game either.
I heard the story of Red Chandies when he would bat ahead of Stan Musial. Chandies was a good hitter.
Wouldn't even take the extra base.
Wouldn't take the extra base because if it was open, they would walk Musial. And he would take, the odds would be that with Musial hitting, that he could get to third or in home and keep first base protected because they would walk him.
I played with both of them, with the Cardinals, and I played with Red in Milwaukee in our heyday in 57, 58, and I don't know about that. The older you get, a lot of stories come out of it.
You mean it becomes a little bit of a sea story and folk tale?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that Red Changes would ever lay back any time. He hustles all the time. I don't think he would ever take an extra base intentionally.
Oh.
I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe
There's
it.
There's just a story.
The game was not played that way.
Right. So he thought he had a halfway chance he would take that base, so that might be a little bit of a C story.
If there's any doubt, he might not try to stretch it, but if he knew he had one, I know he would go to second base.
Well, I always put Red Chandies and Enos Country Slaughter in the same category of hustling. At least that's the reputation they had. And
there were a lot of guys that hustled.
Yeah.
Some of them made a flare of it. Like Willie Mays' hat would fly off and this, that, and the other, but Hank Aaron would be standing there waiting for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be. Well, anyway, I think Aaron was probably the best all-around outfielder that I played, I ever played against or with.
He's coming out with a new book. Maybe it's already out on the market now. I heard him being interviewed.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. He had tremendous wrist power.
Oh, yeah.
And
so I never saw him, and very few people be fooled by a pitch and be way out on the front foot. All their weight would be on his left foot, his front foot, and the bat would still be back, and he would slip his wrist and hit the ball out of the ballpark. He would be out front.
That's right,
back,
yeah.
But he'd still, like that, and still hit the ball out. Yeah, tremendous.
Just a God-given talent? Or did he...
Well, I think so. I don't think there was anything that he developed.
Nothing developed that you could...
How did you develop it?
I don't know.
Swinging a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Probably gets better all the time. You'd have to say you trained a few... put a few hours in if you played for 20-some years.
Yeah, I would hope so. I feel that... In teaching, I've done it for 32 years, and I know that I'm a hell of a lot better than I was a year ago or 15 years ago.
Well, you don't waste a lot of idle conversation.
That's right. Kind of conclude the conversation. For the record, a couple of good memories in terms of some of the players that you were on teams with that you liked their character.
Well,
there was something about him that you could trust him.
The closest friend I've ever had in my life was Warren Spahn. We roomed together for about 11, 12 years. And back then we had to have roommates unless you were a real bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
And Spahn and I loved the same things. When we go on the road, you're pitching, today's your day to order food. We both love the same food. We'd go in a restaurant and one sit in one corner and one sit in the other and order the same thing. And we just, it just was just...
You read one another's mind then?
It was just a pleasure to do something you have to do. You have to room with someone, but to have such a pleasant friend as a roommate. Yeah. And we both enjoyed the same things, like I said, and we ran around together all the time. And the manager and all would say, stay away from the Cats and Jammer kids. Stay away from the Gold Dust twins or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They'll hurt you. but we really had a lot of fun together.
And if you have that once in life, count yourself fortunate.
Very fortunate. Yes, sir.
Another player that, or coach or manager that sticks out in your mind because of their character, and of course they're hustling on the field or they're giving of time or attention that helped you, but there was something special about them that that you'll treasure.
You know, rookies back in our day, you know, didn't get much help from anybody. You kind of resented when you were a rookie. Well,
you were, might be taking their job away.
That's true. They didn't want you to get in the batting cage, didn't want you to throw batting practice, didn't want you to do anything. Pitching was probably better than hitters. But there was an awful lot of, they just didn't like any rookies.
Yeah.
Didn't like it, like you said.
And you were treated that way when you were a rookie then.
Definitely treated that way. You had a nail on the wall for a locker. That was your locker.
That was your.
I mean, it was done that way for a long time. And when you come up with the Yankees, you weigh 165, 170 pounds, 6'1" and a half. And they give you a size 40 pair of pants. I mean, they always did that to you. Give you a great old big uniform, make you look like, you really look like a rookie. And
yeah,
that's what they wanted you to do. Weird looking.
The pinstripes were about as crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Well, I've got a picture of old number 27. That was what I was when I came up with the Yankees. And the 27 was draped all the way around my back. Come around to the side.
Come around the side. I saw the first and last letters of your name.
The pants are just... They were really
blouse. Well, you had those old baggy wool things.
Yeah,
they
were baggy anyway.
Yeah.
But when the waistline, I had a 30-inch waistline or something like that, and they give you 40 pants.
Pants, you know, you'd have
42 or something.
You need a few safety pins to keep those babies up.
Well, they did have leather belts.
That's true. Lou, thank you very much for this conversation. I'll send a copy to you and appreciate the opportunity that you would share these moments about your baseball career.
Well, you didn't ask me, Dan, about do I think I belong in the Hall of Fame?
Do you think you ought to belong in the Hall of Fame, Lou?
I definitely do.
Okay.
Because I've got equal or better records than some people do.
That's right.
But
what
was
your final record in the majors?
203 and 144. Same as Drysdale and
that's
Bob
right.
Lemon,
and you had
a lot better than Koufax.
Yeah.
And by the way, he never beat me in a ball game.
He never beat you in a ball game?
No.
And you hit 3 home runs off him to boot.
That's right. in case you ever hear this, Sandy.
Okay.
In case you forgot.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank
I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you very much, sir.